Well, again, good morning, everyone. Joel, thank you so much for leading us in that sobering and humbling reminder of the things that we often put before God. And as we confess those things and he clears our minds, he clears our conscience. So thank you for that. Amen? Amen. Well, welcome again to Antioch. Welcome to those of you who call Antioch home, those of you who are visiting with us today, and a special hello to those of you who are watching online. Thanks for joining us today. We're continuing in our series, Walking Through the Gospel of Mark, and we're in Mark chapter 14, verses 27 through 42 today. A few months ago, I was at the gym. I began working with a trainer on strength training. I'm someone who I typically like to do cardio, and I said, okay, I need to start incorporating strength training. So I started working with a guy who worked at the gym that I go to, and he was helping me to learn how to lift weights. And so I had been working with him for a couple of weeks, and I noticed myself getting stronger and stronger. And then one day I came in, and he was giving me the routine to do. And I saw the weights that he had in front of me, and I looked at a set of heavier weights, and I said, I think I can lift those weights over there. And he looked at me and said, Mike, are you sure? Those are pretty heavy. And I said, yeah, I got this. I can do that. I can lift those heavy weights. And so he said, okay, have at it. So I walked over, and I tried to pick up these heavy weights, and about 1.2 seconds in, I realized that I was not as strong as I thought I was. I was not as strong as I thought I was. And so then I had to put the heavy weights down and go back to the regular weights that he had for me. I think about this story because while it can be a kind of a funny story, I think it points to a deeper fundamental problem that you and I and everyone in here has, and it's called pride. Pride. Here's the main point of today's message. Even Christians struggle with pride. Even Christians struggle with pride. And as we're going to see today, pride can do a lot of things in our life. And one of the things that pride can do for us is that it can make us think that we are spiritually stronger than we actually are. But Jesus is gracious with us, and he doesn't give up on us. But he also calls us to lay down our pride and to realize our need and our dependence on him. So, church, as we get closer to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, today we are going to look at the problem with pride, but also the truth of depending on Jesus. So with that, if you would please stand with me as we read Mark chapter 14, verses 27 through 42. These are the words of the Lord. You will all fall away, Jesus told them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise! Let us go. Here comes my betrayer. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Our passage starts today with Jesus telling the disciples that they will all fall away, meaning soon every single one of them is going to abandon him. And the reason they're going to abandon him is because of the pressure of what's about to happen with his upcoming trial and crucifixion and death. So we have to understand this was not something, when they hear these words, this was not something that they believed applied to them when they heard this, that they would all fall away. But actually, this was prophesied all the way back in the Old Testament book of Zechariah, where he says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. That's from Zechariah 13:7. So in today's passage, Jesus pulls from that Zechariah passage and he uses it to tell his disciples that what's going to happen to him is going to be soon. And it's a foreshadowing of what they would do. He says, I'm going to be struck, meaning I'm going to be killed, and you can count on every single one of you scattering, deserting me under the immense pressure of what's about to happen. None of you, he's saying, none of you will have the resolve to stay by my side when things get tough. You might think you will, you think you're strong enough, but I'm telling you right now, you won't. You're all going to fall away. And so when the disciples hear this, they don't believe it. They want to believe in their minds. They want to believe that when things get tough and when things get hard, that they're going to stick by Jesus' side. But this is what Jesus tells them. None of you will stick by my side. So he says this to them, and like we've been seeing a lot in the Gospel of Mark, look who speaks up first. Who speaks up first? Peter. Peter speaks up first, and look what he says. Even if all fall away, I will not. That's what Peter says. Even if all fall away, I will not. So what does Jesus do? He takes what Peter says, he takes it a step further, and he says, not only are you going to fall away, Peter, but I can tell you specifically when you will fall away. He says, today, in fact, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me 3 times. So this is what Jesus tells Peter, exactly when this will happen. And instead of Peter actually like listening and taking to heart what Jesus just told him, what does Peter do? He doubles down on his assertion. Look what Peter then says. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And then look what it says. And all the others said the same. So Peter like leads this charge and they all join in and they become pretty confident in their abilities to stay with Jesus when things get tough. They're pretty prideful right now. And before we are quick to judge Peter and the disciples for what they're saying here, I think we need to be careful because I think this shows us something. Based on these few verses, based on this passage, I think what we see here is the problem of pride. I think this passage shows us the problem of pride. I think pride does 3 things in our life. Pride does 3 things in our life. Number 1, pride gives you a distorted view of yourself. Pay close attention to the heart attitude behind Peter's words. Even if all fall away, I will never fall away. I will never do that. Notice the self-confidence and the arrogance and the pride that Peter says this with. Even if they do this, I will never do this, Jesus. Essentially, this is what Peter is saying. Jesus, I hear what you're saying, but even if these other 11 guys leave you, I'm such a strong person, and I know that I'm such a strong person. I want you to know, Jesus, that I would never do that. They might, but I won't, because I am like your strongest, best disciple, Jesus. That's basically the prideful heart attitude behind what Peter is saying here. So what does Peter have right now? A distorted view of himself. His pride has him thinking more highly of himself than he should, even though Jesus just told him otherwise. Peter thinks so highly of himself. He says, surely that won't happen to me. And this is what pride can do to us. It causes us to have this distorted view of ourselves where we can begin to think that we're immune to stuff that others would fall for. And we begin to think that we're so good and we're so strong that we're incapable of stumbling where others might stumble. And instead of praying, I would never do that, we should pray, God, help me to not fall for that. So he has this distorted view of himself. When we have pride in our hearts, we can have a distorted view of ourselves where we begin to think we're stronger than we actually are, and we won't fall for things that we actually could do. And when you do this, when you have this distorted view of yourself, then number two, it leads to having a distorted view of others. Because while you're elevating yourself and while you're lifting yourself up, what are you doing? You're also putting others down. Notice what Peter says. Even if all others fall away, meaning they might fall away, they're actually capable of falling away, but I'm not. So pride gives you a distorted view of others, because while you're esteeming yourself and like trying to look good on yourself, you can be tearing others down and not building others up, and you don't see the best in others. And what do we know? Pride, when it comes to pride and like this pride that we have, when it gives us a distorted view of others, it can show up in so many different areas of our life. So when it comes to pride, listen, we have to understand pride can like creep into your house. And it can creep into your marriage, and it can keep you from like seeing godliness in your spouse, and it can keep you from humbling yourself and admitting when you're wrong. And pride can creep into you as a parent and keep you from humbling yourself and admitting when you're wrong and saying, I'm sorry. Pride can show up on your job. Pride can like creep into your job. Here at church, pride can creep in and keep us from becoming the church that God wants us to be. So we have to understand how pride can give us a distorted view of others. So here's the question that I want to ask. Is there any relationship in my life that would be stronger if I let go of my pride? Is there any relationship in my life that would be stronger if I let go of my pride? So pride gives us a distorted view of ourselves. It gives us a distorted view of others. Then the most dangerous of all, pride can give us a distorted view of God. Here's how. Jesus just told the disciples that they're going to fall away. Jesus just spoke those words. But instead of taking them to heart, what he just said, what do? They refute what he just said, and they don't take him seriously. They disagree with Jesus. In their minds, Jesus is incorrect. And what they think will happen in their minds, like trumps and overrides what Jesus just said would happen. And this is what pride does. We become so consumed with ourselves that we don't take the word of God seriously. And we begin to like drown out what God is saying to us or what God has said to us. And we talked about this before. We can become so prideful in our lives that we begin to like grow dull and numb to the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So this is the problem of pride. It causes us to have a distorted view of ourselves, a distorted view of others, and a distorted view of God. And we have to remember, these are his disciples who have this mindset. The same men who have been walking and talking and living and traveling with Jesus. So this shows us, church, this shows us it's possible for followers of Jesus to struggle with pride. We are not exempt from this dangerous mindset, regardless of how long you've been walking with Jesus. It's possible to grow up going to church, still go to church, be actively involved in your church, be involved in your community group, be involved in your DNA group, volunteer in kids ministry or hospitality or greeter or whatever it is. You can be involved in your church actively and still struggle with pride. In fact, I think in a way it's almost easier the longer you've been a Christian to struggle with pride, because we can begin to think that we're good with God. And like we have this like Christian thing figured out. We've got this Christian life figured out, and pride can begin to creep in, and we begin to like rely more on ourselves and less on God the more we do that and do it. So we have to be careful. Just because we follow Jesus doesn't mean pride cannot creep into your life. So as it stands right now, they're stuck in their pride, and they think that they won't abandon him. But here's what happens. Jesus takes them to the garden. And in the garden, two things happen. Number one, Jesus shows us what it means to depend on the Heavenly Father. Jesus goes and he begins to be deeply distressed because of the weight of what's about to happen to him. He's about to die for the sins of the entire world. So he prays that if possible, the hour might pass from him. He says, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. What Jesus says here has caused some debate and confusion and misunderstanding throughout the centuries, because sometimes people will read this and they will think that Jesus was somehow trying to get out of his God-given task to save the world. This is not Jesus trying to get out of his task. Listen to what one commentator says about this prayer that Jesus says. I'm going to put this on the screen here. Was Jesus trying to get out of his task? Jesus expressed his true feelings, but he did not deny or rebel against God's will. He reaffirmed his desire to do what God wanted. Jesus' prayer highlights the terrible suffering he had to endure, an agony so much more magnified because he had to take on the sins of the entire world. This cup was the agony of alienation from God, his Father, at the cross. While praying, Jesus was aware of what he was doing, of what doing the Father's will would cost him. He understood the suffering he was about to encounter, and he did not want to have to endure the horrible experience. But Jesus prayed, not what I will, but what you will. So by praying this, Jesus shows us what it means to depend on his Father. And this is the type of dependence that he wants his disciples to have. So he's praying this, and while Jesus is praying, at some point, Peter, James, and John, the three men who out the Gospel of Mark have been the most like boastful and confident in their abilities to like do this, do this stuff. The three men who have been most prideful and boastful, what do? They keep falling asleep. And so Jesus uses this as a lesson to teach them that they're not as spiritually strong as they think they are just yet. He tells him, look, stay here and keep watch. In this context, that means to stay spiritually alert by praying. Stay spiritually alert by praying. So Jesus goes off to pray, and he returns to them and finds them asleep. They're sleeping. So he says to Peter, now remember, Peter was the one who not too long ago said, even if I have to die with you, I will. He says to Peter, couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Essentially, this is what Jesus is saying. Peter, you who like you prided yourself on the fact that you would never fall away from me. How are you going to do that if you can't even stay awake for 1 hour and pray? So when Jesus tells Peter this, this isn't meant as a way to like make Peter feel bad about himself. Jesus isn't saying this to shame Peter. He's saying this to show Peter that the pride you had was misplaced. It came from this inner human desire that you had to try to make yourself feel good, to try to make yourself look good. He tells Peter, watch and pray. Why? So that you won't fall into temptation. And he says the way you keep from doing that is don't rely on your own spiritual resolve. Don't try to rely on your own strength. Instead, pray. Pray for strength. Then he tells him why he should pray. He tells him why. He doesn't just tell him to pray. He tells him why. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jesus is telling Peter, in your mind, Peter, you wanted to do the right thing. In your mind, you wanted to stay awake. You didn't want to fall asleep in your mind. But your body is weak. Your body is tired. So that's why you need to pray, Peter. That's why you need to pray for strength. That's why I'm modeling this dependence on the Heavenly Father, because I want you and the disciples to do this. And I want to be clear here. This is not Jesus saying that he also needed to pray because he may have fallen into temptation or sin. No, we know that Jesus never sinned. What he's doing here is he's modeling dependence during times of weakness. Modeling dependence during times of weakness. So here's what we do. Here's the formula that Jesus gives us. I'll put this on the screen. Here's the formula Jesus gives us. Instead of relying on myself, which is pride, I should pray to God to help me. Because even though I want to do the right thing, even though I desperately want to do the right thing, even though I think I can do the right thing, temptation is out there. And my flesh is weak. And remember, I cannot emphasize this enough. These are men who have been with him the entire time, who have walked with him and talked with him, and yet their pride has them thinking they can do something that Jesus clearly demonstrates to them that they cannot do apart from Jesus. So just because you're a Christian, doesn't mean you will always be strong in every area of your life. So we have to say, listen, I follow Jesus, but I need Jesus to help me because I cannot do this on my own. I follow Jesus, and I need Jesus to help me control my tongue. I follow Jesus, and I need Jesus to help me control my eyes. I follow Jesus, and I need Jesus to help me control my thoughts. I follow Jesus, and I need Jesus to help me control my anger. I follow Jesus, and I need Jesus to help me with whatever temptation I face. Instead of you thinking you are strong enough to handle it by yourself, which is pride, we pray because we follow Jesus, but we also have human weakness. Amen? We pray because here's what we don't want to do. Here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to become so full of unrepentant pride and arrogance. We don't want to think we got this. That something happens and Jesus has to like dramatically reveal to us that we actually don't. So we want to like check ourselves every day before it's too late. We want to do like some spiritual inventory. We want to think about this stuff. I'll say it like this. We don't want to boast about being able to stay awake, then be found sleeping. We don't want to boast about being able to stay awake, then be found sleeping. Because we can get to this point where we feel like we can do things on our own. We want to live lives that are always fully dependent on Jesus. Like we said at the beginning, Christians struggle with pride. And maybe there's some area of your life where you can admit pride has like taken a foothold in your life. We had our elders meeting a couple of days ago and we talked about that, footholds. Footholds in our lives. What is an area of your life? Is there an area of your life where pride has taken a foothold? And you begin like relying on yourself, thinking you got this. And you've like stopped relying on Jesus and started trying to do this by yourself. Pride can give us a distorted view of ourself. We don't want to be like that. As we approach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we want to remind ourselves that we can lay down our pride, which is sinful, and we can walk in the freedom of dependence on Jesus. So here's what I want to do today. I want us as a church to just take a few moments, and I want us to earnestly pray, have some individual just prayer time, you and Jesus. And I want you to ask the Spirit to search your heart. And I want us to pray, Jesus, is there any area of my life where I've been operating in pride? Maybe it's pride in our houses. Maybe it's in our marriages. Maybe it's in our parenting. And then I want you to take that and say, Jesus, now what do you want me to do with this? Maybe it's simply as there's someone in your life that you just need to say, I'm sorry to. Your pride has kept you from apologizing to someone for something. Maybe it's a spouse or a child or a parent or someone. Maybe there's an area of your life where you just need to reevaluate things and say, Jesus, I've been doing this in my own strength. I've been thinking I got this. And I started off depending on you, but somewhere along the way, I became my own driver. Today, let's ask the Spirit to search our hearts for that. Let's pray. Father, it is so easy to let pride creep into our lives. It is so easy to begin to think more highly of ourselves than we ever should. It's so easy to think that we're stronger than we actually are. It is so easy sometimes to think that the things that others deal with, the problems that others have, the struggles that others have, the addictions that others have, we would never fall for that. It is so easy to think that. And through that, we can end up having this distorted view of ourselves, this distorted view of others, where we lift ourselves up and put others down because of our pride. And all of that leads to a distorted view of you, Jesus, because we're looking to us instead of you. And even when you speak to us, our pride can sometimes drown out your voice because we think we know what's best for us. Help us, Jesus. We repent of that right now. We lay down our pride. And we fully depend on you. Help us to not boast about being able to stay awake and be found sleeping. We know that temptation is out there, Jesus. We, by ourselves, cannot battle against temptation. Because even though our spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So we look to you and we depend on you. Thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, Jesus. Because of that, we look to you for all that we need. We pray these things in your name. Amen.